This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is a My Talk Dirt Alert.
Well, hello, Holly.
Greetings.
Greetings on this Tuesday before Thanksgiving Eve.
The Tuesday before the biggest party night of the year.
Yeah.
Yes.
And we're going to start off, actually, on a sad note. We've got a notable obituary this afternoon. Armie Hammer's father, Michael Armand Hammer, died over the weekend after a long battle with cancer.
Oh, my gosh. How old was he?
67
oh,
years
dear.
Old. Yeah. His rep confirmed to People magazine today his death, saying in a statement that Michael Hammer has passed away after a long, hard fight with cancer and is now at peace. And Michael was best known for his ties to Occidental Petroleum, a company started by his grandfather, Armand Hammer. And that's where Armie Hammer's generational wealth was tapped, so to speak.
I feel like his dad was in, there's lots of scandal around his dad,
with
too.
With sexuality and women and things like that.
Yes.
I think so.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And
his grandpa.
Well, right. Armand Hammer.
Yes.
This family's got generations of scandal around
it.
Armie Hammer is just the latest hammer man, so to speak, that has found himself in entrenched in scandal.
Holly, I swear we read this in a Vanity Fair expose about it went back five generations of basically quote unquote dark side to the men in the family.
Yeah, well, did you guys watch House of Hammer on Discovery
Never
Plus?
Did.
No.
Well, Casey Hammer,
sister?
Yes, said that he was left with most of their grandfather's $40 million fortune. She claims that she only inherited $250,000, while her dad got $500,000, and Michael received the rest of the estate.
And who was Michael again?
Army's dad, the one who just
that's
died.
That's right. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And in House of Hammer, Casey talks about other things about her family history, including allegations that her and Michael's father would shoot guns at her, allegedly beating their mother, and just really just a lot of darkness happening there.
Yeah.
So
you hate it when families, you know, use money to turn against each other.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I think that there's a lot of that going on, and more details in House of Hammer. Let's turn to some good news. Jay Leno confirms that he'll return to the stage this weekend following his gasoline fire accident that happened but just the Sunday before this last one.
Jeez.
Yeah, and he was driving around, and he says he still plans to perform a previously scheduled show at Hermosa Beach this weekend.
Right. It's probably a charity thing, and he doesn't want to let him down or something like that. That's really
that
something.
Yeah, and also Jay Leno just has a very prolific work ethic when it comes to his stand-up comedy.
I have read and heard about that.
So I think it's one of those things where he probably is like, well, what else am I going to do?
Mm-hmm.
I'm driving around town. I'm scarred and I'm probably going to make a full recovery. So I'll sling some jokes down at the beach.
Right.
There he goes. We missed this news just under the wire yesterday about Todd and Julie Chrisley.
Yes,
oh my gosh.
Sentenced to a combined 19 years in prison on bank fraud and tax evasion charges.
Holy crap.
Yeah. Also, in this ruling, according to the judge, that they have to pay $17.2 million in restitution. $36 million in this fraud scheme.
Yeah. Community banks. They were very good conning. Look at, they conned their way into NBC Universal.
That to me is unbelievable.
Jen Shah must be very nervous, Holly.
That is the follow-up every time we talk about someone being convicted right now.
Because it's federal. You know, the feds have a very, 96% conviction rate?
Look, Jen Shah should be nervous.
She should be. She's looking at anywhere from, I think, didn't we read 10 to 15 years for her?
Yeah.
I think so. Yeah. Now, sources at the New York Post are saying that the Chrisleys are likely going to have to give up their two Nashville homes worth about $9 million in order to fulfill that $17.2 million obligation in restitutions. So,
where will the kids live?
Well, the oldest daughter that came back to the family fold now is taking the little ones.
That's why she came back. The family, the mom and dad begged her and said, we're going to prison.
That's right. Savannah, that's who you're talking about, Julia, recently revealed she has custody of her brother Grayson and niece Chloe after her parents were sentenced to prison. Although they say they remain optimistic.
Well, white collar criminals always think that they can, you know, drag stuff out. But I don't think that they can, because it's just, they've got mountains of evidence and it was so much money.
Right. I mean, Todd was sentenced to 12 years. Julie was sentenced to 7 years. Both also will receive 16 months of probation following their jail time.
She and Giselle Maxwell can trade, con ideas, because they're both going to be in the same pokey in Florida.
Oh, Laura, you're so funny. They can play ideas.
They can play checkers together, which allegedly is what Ghislaine Maxwell is currently doing.
Right, Julie. This Chrisley is such a polar opposite from Giselle Maxwell. I'm sure they've got a lot of...
But not really, Julia. They're both women. They both ran long cons. And Giselle, hurt women. And who knows how this other lady hurt. But, you know, stealing money is never good from community banks. I know that.
Lori is so wise today.
Yes. Well, I mean, it probably means that loans don't happen in that neighborhood.
It's absolutely terrible.
Yeah.
It's terrible what they did, because it was over such a sustained, I think, like 2007, 2012.
Because it's
5 years.
It's
long been
that the quote unquote white collar crime has been like no big deal, but it does. It does trickle down, and it does matter.
Well, it's just how we've seen this play out in the Real Housewives community. Think about the whole Erica Jane debacle and how that really affected people and their bottom line. Also, Jen Shah ripping off elders in her telemarketing scheme.
Yeah.
Like, these have real consequences for, everyday folks.
Yeah.
So good day to them.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Meghan Markle, who is opening up about how she thinks women are vilified for exploring their sexuality while men are often praised.
Well, that is 100% true.
Mm-hmm.
Who was her guest on this episode? Who were the people?
Well, she was talking to Candace Bushnell, I believe.
Mm.
Yeah.
Candace has said some interesting things lately about sex, though.
What has she said?
Just kind of that she's very much not interested anymore.
Yeah. No, what she said is that in her opinion, that she feels there are two kinds of women post-menopause.
Right.
You're either interested in sex or you don't want it at all. And I think that is, she's speaking from, I trust Candace that she's taking a poll. And you and I heard that when we were selling our nipples.
Yeah.
Women either loved it for the idea of it or absolutely hated it.
Well,
because they were done with
nipples
that.
Nipples are sex.
But I'm just saying.
Tomato, tomato.
To being sexy.
Yeah.
They were done being sexy.
Yeah.
We had women tell us that.
She did say that, Holly.
Yeah. There you go.
Thank you, Holly. I want to listen to that episode. It sounds good.
Yeah. Nipples. All right. Bye.
Have you guys asked anybody what they wanted for Christmas yet? Are you someone who says, will you give me something on your wish list?
No,
you don't even ask your kids, or you don't ever ask anybody.
I've already asked my kids what they want.
Yeah, so you talk to people about it.
Of course I am. I want ideas.
The number one thing that specifically parents want that's on their wish list.
Peace.
A decent night of sleep.
Peace. That's what I said.
Peace. Yeah. That's right.
Depends on what you're thinking.
I would just 66% said they would beg jolly old Saint Nick or anyone else who could give them better sleep. because this is the time of the year that sleep starts getting sacrificed.
It does.
A little bit more.
You have a lot of social engagements. Things are, you know, you got to do a lot more.
Shopping, cooking, baking. You might be worried about money. Then you get worried about, you know, going shopping. Then who's coming over, wrapping things. It's a lot of, it puts a knot in people's stomach. And so this is the time of the year that people have the most trouble sleeping. So you're in good company, 66%.
I would say.
So, you know. There's that. But yeah, a decent night of sleep doesn't surprise either one of us, right?
No.
Okay, now here, I don't know that this is a study of duh, you guys, but it tickled my
fancy.
My love of Mother Nature, Julia.
Okay.
Okay.
I decided to be good.
Okay, so you know, we're not doing anything other than ice fishing right now. And I have to say
there's not even good enough ice fishing.
Right.
The diehards are out there.
Oh, no, our lake isn't frozen over.
But certain smaller bays and areas. Like my buddy was out on Medicine Lake in the smaller bay last weekend, laying on like 2-inch ice, thinking
that's ridiculous.
Yeah. I love a fancy white fish house. When I discovered that that is a thing, then I've been a fan.
Fish house?
Fancy fish houses.
Oh, yeah. The ice castles, they call them.
Yeah, with bars and music and food and warmth. Right. And
Lori is so funny.
I'm like, these are just little mini bars.
They're great.
Where did you discover this?
I discovered up at Grand Rapids. There was some ice fishing tournament. Man, I had a blast.
Well, that is fun.
Yeah, it really was fun. Yeah. So, but scientists have discovered, and this could possibly help. I mean, maybe people know this. I mean, I should have asked my grandma or my grandpa, who are epic fisher people. But why do fish look down when they swim?
Oh.
Okay.
They're looking for food.
No.
Their eyes are
inverted.
They're kind of sideways, actually,
well,
a fish.
Well, they do. I mean, their
they're kind of on the side of their head. You don't see a lot of fish with forward eyes.
Lori, you're so funny.
Yeah.
I've never seen a fish look forward because eyes are on the side of their head.
It's true.
I know.
Blowfish, maybe.
Yeah. And the reason why this quirky little trait, it enables them to do several things. And the scientists who did this study, I love this analogy. They said it's similar to sitting in a train car that isn't moving. If the train next to yours starts to pull away,
you feel it.
It can trick you into thinking you're moving too.
Okay.
Yes. So backwards.
And the visual cue from the other train is so strong it overrides the fact that all of your other senses are telling you, no, you're sitting still. So that's exactly the phenomenon that they're studying in fish. And this was published in Current Biology. And it is couple of reasons. Number one, fish look down because the most abundant and reliable signal a fish knows in its fish brain gets from the bottom of the river.
Yes.
They know it's tricky to look up. Optical illusions, things to bite.
Oh.
So they're looking down when they're swimming.
I said that.
Yeah, yeah. Did you say that?
Yes, I said it at the very beginning.
Looking for food.
Well, but they're looking. That's a more reliable indicator. They have to look up to hunt, to look what they're going to eat. Is there any good algae or another little fish or whatever that they eat?
That's how they see the little worm.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to look up at this little worm.
The jiggler, the wrapper, or whatever that thing is. The Rapala thing. My grandma always had spoons and shiny things.
Yeah.
You got to just trick the fish.
You got to. It's part of it.
Yeah.
That's the beauty.
Anyway. Just thought I'd share that.
There is nothing like a good bottle of Fireball inside of an ice house with a bunch of your friends.
Even if you're
not fishing, even if you're not catching, you're just hanging out.
At this festival that we went to, I wish that friend hadn't sold the cabin. We just went from ice house to ice house.
So the villages.
Remember how fun.
It was super, it was super fun. And everybody like had cute hats on. And I don't care. I mean, even like the homeliest person looks adorable in a winter hat.
That's true. Equal opportunity flirting at the ice. We would throw New Year's Eve parties out on the ice.
Yeah.
My buddy had an old military tent that he would prop up out there, you know, pounded in stakes. And
so
he had a wood stove in there and we'd have all of our houses around it, but We would, for 5 or 6 years, we had New Year's Eve parties out on the ice, and it was
a great idea.
It was perfect.
Yeah.
It was fun.
I know. I wasn't doing any making out, but I was a wing woman helping three girlfriends who were actively seeking a man.
That's right.
For the evening. And gosh, I'm good at it. I'm very good at it.
You're so honest.
You want me around.
I can't stop laughing right now. You want her in your corner.
I would. Mm-hmm. If I was single, I would.
Let me just tell you. Yeah, I want to tell you.
Sometimes she could be overbearing.
Oh, no, Julie, that is not true.
I know it.
Always
funny.
I want you guys to think twice as we're approaching the holidays, and maybe you're going somewhere where ayahuasca, or however you pronounce that stuff, is going to
be
served.
No, yes. It's not good for you. There's a story about it.
There's a major...
This is the mushroom thing that Brett Favre did.
Well, it's an ancient South American brew. It is not to be confused with mushrooms, okay? Yes. That's something different. Or peyote.
Yep.
That's something different. Ayahuasca.
Yes, Aaron Rodgers did.
Many people, John Mayer, I've heard Andy Cohen talk about wanting to try this. This is something, but they studied 10,000 people from 50,000 countries about their experiences with this ayahuasca.
Okay.
Ayahuasca.
And they found that more than half said they had negative mental health effects while on it, such as hearing or seeing things that other people can't, otherwise known as hallucinations.
Mm-hmm. This is such a funny mental health effect.
If you do a hallucinatory drug, you will see things that aren't real and hear things that aren't real, which is why I always avoided anything hallucinatory because I have trouble enough with a scary movie.
But
my brain is telling me I know that's not real, but I am very uncomfortable with hallucinations. I've tried mushrooms. I agree.
The beauty, though, of what they're doing mostly now is what's called microdosing. So you don't actually have the visual effect.
I'm just talking about ayahuasca. Okay.
Ayahuasca.
Thank you.
Ayahuasca's cousin.
Yeah. I'm just talking about ayahuasca. I'm not talking about microdosing. I'm not talking about any of this.
Yep.
But what they said is that with this, half of the people that, of course, like half of the group gets hallucination. Sure. The other half, they don't even remember they were hallucinating. Okay. But the half of the people who had vivid hallucinations, half of them continued to have hallucination for weeks afterwards.
Oh, I wouldn't want that.
No.
You don't want that. It's like a hangover that doesn't go away.
It's vine stems from a chacaruna shrub that's just native to the Amazonian region. And then it's brewed. And so the different strengths and where people get it. But anyway, I just want to say, don't do that one.
Lori, thank you.
You're welcome.
If you're thinking of what to do,
like if you're getting, you know, invited to go on some kind of a retreat and they say, oh, there's going to be someone there and we're going to do this. I just think, you know, many people are not up for hallucinations, Julia. In my experience, yes.
Okay.
People are not.
Grant.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Hardcore hallucinations.
I want to say Wanda Wisdom, but I know someone else at our station is that.
No, I asked Casey one time to tell me about LSD because he did it several times. And
it was in vogue back
but
then.
Every experience involved, like, oh, it was the longest night and spiders were running on my wall. You know,
that sounds horrible.
He never had a good experience. And after he recounted it, like four different, he goes, I guess that's why I quit that. Cause I never liked having all those hallucinations.
No, that doesn't sound fun.
Anyway, ayahuasca.
Ayahuasca.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, honestly, I really
don't even know what
was
to do
that
with
segment
that.
Even called.
Well, it was just a little of this duh and a little of that duh.
It was yachtneering.
Yeah, it was because duh. Who wants to hallucinate? See how I did it?
But who wants it to last for 2 weeks after too? Gross.
Weeks.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's
good.
Terrible. We're good.
All right. Stay
in reality.
We'll be right back.
We'll be back.
Thanks for hanging out with us. By the way, just for advanced planning, a week from today, we will be out at the Chanhassen dinner theater with the Santa Stop because I called my friend JJ. Shout out to Deb. I'm sure we'll see her and her
hubby. Shout out to Shannon who can't come.
Because, I mean, you know, it'll be, so it's next Tuesday. And so maybe when you're out, if you're doing any shopping or whatever, you get something for a kid from the Ronald McDonald House. And I always say, don't forget the teenagers.
I agree. And the seniors, for crying out loud. Yeah. We're doing a fun thing with AARP with seniors this year, too. Mm-hmm.
Well, we've also got a Santa Stop coming up this Saturday, November 26th, at the Galleria with the Shop Girls.
Oh, so
we can start already this Saturday if you want to go to the Galleria for the Shop Girls broadcast, which I believe starts at 11.
Yeah,
you can check them out, bring your toys, and we'll get them all to the kids at the Ronald McDonald
House. Say hi to Alice and Allie and Harmony, which are fabulous. Okay, the Chippendales starts tonight, you guys, on Hulu. Welcome to the Chippendales. Yes.
Oh, no.
Is that getting good reviews?
Yeah. It kind of is.
Cool.
Yeah. And it's an 8-part docudrama about the Chippendale founder, Steve Banaje, who fancied himself the next Hugh Hefner as his male stripper club became a phenom. Mm-hmm. It's a phenom. Mm-hmm. What would you want? What did you call giblets? Jiggy?
Giblets. 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 We call them giblets.
Ghibli. It's a Ghibli good time.
And is the Chippendales, is that, did Magic Mike, did Chanum ever dance there, or he just danced for some random place in Tampa?
I think Chippendales, but Chippendales had, you know, a franchise around the world, the country.
Yeah, but I'm just trying to remember the Magic Mike origin story. I think it was just a random
one,
place. Like, you know, my mom and I saw strippers at the Cove one year.
Really?
Well, we saw strippers everywhere, Lori.
The Cove, the restaurant.
The Cove in Superior. In Superior. The Cove. It's been around for a long time, and it's kept the name, and it's just huge. But there used to be strippers more often. Now it's just Fishing Opener and Deer Opener.
Deer Opener. Well, Funkley, Minnesota used to do it up there. They would bring some girls up from the cities in Funkley.
And then for a while it was the Thunder Down Under.
Yeah.
That traveling troupe.
I tried to get my mom to go to a stripper show when we were in Vegas. A male stripper. I was in. She loved the movie Magic Mike. I said,
Mom. You love Magic Mike.
She really did.
Oh, didn't you take her to the...
No.
Yes. Your mom went to a stripper show with
us. I've gone before. And we hired a stripper to come to my mom's 50th birthday party. But it was like a really nice day. And it was going to be like a 2:00, you know, brunch situation. And my mom really wanted to lay by the pool and have pina coladas and split a club sandwich and look at different people's feet in person.
Jesus Christ.
I know.
Okay,
Because the day before we'd wasted a pool day watching the stupid Mariners. From the lounge, from that guy.
18 innings.
Yeah, the whaler that never showed up, the whale or whatever, and the nice lady let us sit there. God, I love using my mom's age. I'm doing it like I did with your dad.
Oh,
to get our way and to get things.
Honey, of course.
It's like having a child, but on the opposite direction.
It's so true.
Mom, just walk in front of that hostess and bend, like act like your back hurts, and I'm going to ask her if we can sit in these two VIP chairs.
You're so funny.
And it worked, and we got 4 free beers. It worked out better.
There you go.
It's like being with your dad at a disco in Florida.
This is going to sound bad,
Grant, but you would have loved my daddy.
Oh, God.
He was a cat.
He was a cat and a half.
That's what you always told me.
He was classic.
Yeah. The program.
He loved women and he dressed so nice and
he was so handsome.
And
when Casey and
I were out with him, you know, we would go out at night when we were in New Smyrna Beach.
So did I, Lori.
Yeah, I know, but you weren't as good of a wing woman as I was.
I found him the last girlfriend.
Oh, that's right, you did.
Okay.
I found him the last hookup. Well, the last time he saw a woman naked.
Jeez.
I found the 40-year-old.
No, he told me, I'm worried I'm not going to see another naked woman. And then we went on that cruise. I said, we're going on a Mediterranean cruise. You're going to see a naked woman.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Love you.
Oh, my gosh. All right. Happy Thanksgiving. I'm out of here tomorrow. You guys have fun without me.
Have a great trip.
Have a good Thanksgiving, Julia.
All right, bye, guys.
Job done. Off you go. For 9 years, a dangerous man terrorized women, breaking into homes and raping his victims before killing a brilliant young scientist in 1998.
The more the victims resisted, the more violent he became.
Then he suddenly stops, leaving police with a lot of clues and one unknown subject.
I'm Paul Wagner. Join me for Unknown Subject, Season 3 of WTOP's American Nightmare podcast series. Search American Nightmare Podcast on all podcast platforms today.